I'm going to be in Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3 tonight. That's a good song to get stuck in your mind throughout the week. Just take my life and let it be. You can just sing it and pray it. Revelation 3. I'm going to talk tonight about the autopsy of a dead church and Christian. The autopsy of a dead church and Christian. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 1. And unto the angel of the church of Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come upon thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, for they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. If you skip across it's across the page of my Bible, but in verse 18 it says, I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Got that white raiment there. Those that overcome, they walk in white raiment in heaven. I don't want to walk around in gray or brown or whatever. I walk around in white raiment. And if you overcome, you'll do that. Verse 5, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out of his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Talked a lot about these, Revelation 2 and 3. Maybe the passages out of the Bible I preach the most about is Revelation 2 and 3, but there's seven letters to seven churches. All seven close. The patterns are incredibly consistent in each book. But all of them close with he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. So it's a message for a church. Literally, it's the church of Sardis. There's a little literal church there that was written to. But it's also, there's a lot more levels to it. But certainly, the Bible says it's to individuals also. And we can learn from this because churches and people do the same things. And that's why he that hath an ear, he should hear what the Spirit says to the church. A church is a living organism and does the same patterns and everything many times. Let's pray. We'll talk about the autopsy of a dead church and Christian. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the Spirit of God. Thank you that you just lead, Lord. I don't have to go travel and go to the top of some mountain somewhere to hear what you want preached, Lord. I have the Holy Spirit inside of me and a copy of the Word of God. What an honor to have both. I pray, Lord, that what you have tonight would be exactly what is said tonight, and that you would speak and your Spirit would control. Though I'm not worthy, though I'm just a weak vessel, Lord, I pray that incredible blessing and riches of truth would flow through me, and the Spirit of God would empower this message. You said if we being evil know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more shall the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? So we ask now for the Holy Spirit, and we claim that promise that you will give him. We ask your help now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it talks about a dead church here, and so we've got this church that says it's you have a name that you live and are dead. So we're going to do a little autopsy here, and so I'm going to be Dr. Byram. And so I don't get doctor's pay, unfortunately. I get six figures if I count the cent things. As a doctor, we got to go and get ready to do an autopsy on this dead church here and look at what it says about it and figure out what the truth about it is and get ready for a good autopsy. And we're going to find out what happened to this church and also what happens to some of us sometimes, and what happens sometimes when something dies. First of all, it's confirmed dead. the greatest doctor and the greatest knowledge in the world says that in chapter 3, verse 1. It says, I know thy works at the end of the verse, and hast a name that thou livest and art dead. It is confirmed dead. Now, some people say that it's alive, but it's confirmed dead. And it has that. Doesn't matter that its name sounds like it's alive. It has a name that sounds like alive. This, our patient's name is Alive and Kicking, but Mr. Alive and Kicking is not alive because he's confirmed dead, even though his name says that he's alive. And so he is actually no longer alive. And so it doesn't matter what his name is, and it doesn't matter what your reputation is, it doesn't matter what people say about you, it doesn't matter what people think about you, that doesn't make you alive because you have a reputation, because you have a name, because people think highly of you. I could be dead, even though I'm the pastor. And we can be dead spiritually. And this church was at one time alive, and we'll see that throughout reading this. It's confirmed dead. It doesn't matter what the name is, but there's hope. Because the same doctor who comes in and told us that this patient is dead, it also says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth me shall never die. Believest thou this? John chapter 11, verse 25 and 26. Revelation chapter 1, verse 18. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of hell and of death. So he has the keys of death, so it doesn't matter that he's dead right now. This patient, this church is dead. It doesn't matter because the one who gives us hope is the one who has the keys to death, and that's Jesus. Well, what are the problems with this patient? Is there a massive head trauma? Did it have a heart attack? Did it lose a limb? Did it bleed to death? Did it have an overdose of drugs? Well, first of all, the problems is that it's dead. That's the first problem. He's at the end of the verse. It says, thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. Secondly, the problem is his works are not perfect before God. Verse 2. End of the verse, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. The works are not complete. The works are not what they ought to be. The deadness spiritually is evidenced by the works. Is evidenced by the works. And you can be dead while you're looking like you're alive. You can be dead spiritually, though alive physically. You can be dead while you live. There are several verses that say this. Jude verse 12 says that. I'll read 1 Timothy and chapter 5 and verse 6. This is talking about a wicked woman. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. And so she's dead while she liveth. Ephesians chapter 2 says, ye who are dead in trespasses and sin hath he quickened. And so we see that you can be dead and look alive and still be walking around because this is dead spiritually. This is dead spiritually. And we can be dead spiritually. There's churches out there that are completely dead spiritually, just like this church was. This is a Bible time church. This is written in 95 AD. This is a Bible time church. And this church, Jesus said, you're dead. And an individual can be dead. We've seen this many times. And as I studied this out and looked at this and looked at what God said about them in this passage, I've watched Christians die many, 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 many times. And as I watch Christians die, the patterns are very consistent, and exactly what it says here is exactly the way it happens. And the evidence is the same. And the worst thing is people think because they're still alive and kicking, they're alive, but they're not necessarily alive spiritually. They're dead. There's many churches who had services this morning. Most of the dead churches don't have services at night, by the way. But the churches who had services this morning, and they are dead. They're dead. There's no spiritual life in them. There's many Christians who will even go to a church Sunday morning and Sunday night in the midweek service and be there for all the services, but it's just their tradition. It's just what they do. And they just like the social thing, and they're dead spiritually. I mean, there's no life in there. There's no spark, and it's very consistent, and it's the same things that this church has. I've watched it hundreds of times, I'm sure. I've seen Christians who are dead. When I first got saved and was on fire for God, I met dead Christians, and I thought, what is wrong with you? I mean, I was... this is awesome. This is the best thing ever. This is exciting. And they're like, meh, I was like you once. Oh, man, those people. how depressing they were and how much they didn't look like the Christianity that I saw in the Bible and the Christians that I liked and got around. They're on fire for God. And by the way, I still always try to find Christians who are alive for God and on fire for God. I was talking to a pastor this week and a wise man who travels a lot and has got a big ministry. And he was asking me if I knew so-and-so. And I said, you know, I don't know him well. And I said, you know, he seemed like a decent guy, but I know that church used to be a pretty dead church. And he said, he's one of us, brother. He's one of us. One of the ones, what he meant is he's alive. He's alive. And he said, you ought to get to know him because he's one of us. And we see those who are dead. So what caused this spiritual death? It'll be the same for you as it will be for a church. Open door may die someday as a church if Jesus tarries long enough. And if it dies, it'll go through the same things. The same things will happen, the same evidences. If I die spiritually, which I could, and I'm not talking I go to hell. I'm talking about I'm spiritually no vibrancy, no breath, no excitement. I'm there. My corpse is there. I have a corpse that's salvation, and I know God, but I'm not anything. I'm just a dead, lifeless Christian. Now, new Christians, they're alive. They're growing. They got life in them. They're grit. You can tell they're alive. Old Christians, they're dead. There's no excitement, there's no fire, there's no zeal, and there's a lot of things. And so a few things. What caused this death as we do our autopsy here? And we're going to go and cut this dead Christian open and see exactly this dead church open. We're going to do some surgery here and cut it open and see exactly through the Word of God exactly what caused this. So we're going to go ahead and do some surgery here. And we find out some things that we find when we open up this body. And first thing we find is there are parts ready to die. There are parts of it ready to die. Verse 2, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. So boy, we've cut open this body and we look inside of it, and the one who looks inside of them says, I know your works, and strengthen those things which remain that are ready to die. So you got some things that are dead and you got some things that are dying. I just tell you something really simple about life. In life, you're either growing or dying. Somewhere along the way, you pass that level of growing, and all of a sudden, you start going down. Now, we're at different levels of that. Sometimes you start taking care of yourself, and you're actually getting better when you're 45 years old or 50 years old because you start taking care of yourself and doing some things, and you're actually doing better because you were going down, down, down. But, you know, some people are really dying at a young age. And you're either growing or you are dying spiritually. Now, when you're newly saved, it's just like a baby. You see babies, and it's amazing. Have you ever heard the statistics? If a baby continued to grow at the rate they grow in the first 2 years, we'd be like 70 feet tall. And by the time you grew up and things like that, you can tell because they're growing like crazy. And we see that spiritual growth. But then sometimes you're dying because you quit growing. And spiritually, we can grow the rest of our life. I'm still growing. God's still speaking to me. Praise God. By the way, that's a really good sign when you're still growing. Can I ask you what kind of growth you've had? Are you growing or are you dying? When is the last time you made a decision and changed something in your life? I'm not asking when is the last time God spoke to you, because God speaking to you happens because you're in a church that preaches the Bible and the Word of God is quick and powerful. I'm talking about when is the last time you grew. Your knowledge does not make you spiritual. I can know all about health food and all about growth and all about the body and be terribly unhealthy. It's a matter of real growth. And this thing had parts that were dying. They were dying. And are you dying or growing? Do you have areas of your life? Remember, he says, strengthen the things that are dying. Keep them from dying. Do you have areas of your life? Does this church have areas where it's dying? You've got to look at that. Does it have areas that is dying? Are we dying in our prayer? Are we dying in our soul winning? Are we dying in our heart for people? Are we dying in love? So you got to find what's dying. You know, the rest of your body can be just fine, but if your liver dies, if your heart dies, if your lung dies, listen, if your lungs die and the rest of your body is perfectly healthy, it don't matter. The only thing you're good for is transplants. And so that's we got to find out what might be dying in us. Is an area you've just given up as dead in your life. Now, you didn't say those words, but all of a sudden you say, you know what? I did just say that's just never going to change. That's just fine. I'll just do this over here. Don't let parts of you die. It's not wise. First of all, it had parts of it that were dying, and it was ready to die. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. You could be surprised. You could be out of church in a month. You. You say, no, I love church. I want to serve the Lord the rest of my life. I've seen that many times. I've seen people who didn't want to get out of church ever. We've had them at Open Door. I've seen it every church I've ever been at. I've seen a lot of things like that where things look like they someone looks like they'd served the Lord the rest of their life. And you know what? They don't realize they can fall. And so we see, first of all, it was ready to die. Secondly, we see this church was not watchful, this patient. As we cut open and look at another part and try to find out what part died or why it died and what was the cause of death, this church was not watchful. Watch this, says this a couple of times. Verse 2, be watchful and strengthen the things. And it does that. Verse 3, remember therefore thou hast received and heard and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come upon thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I come upon thee. This church quit watching, and it was told two times that they didn't watch. The word watch, watchful here, is gregor you in the Greek. It means to keep awake. Somebody got a goo right now. And to keep awake. And that's what the word means. It means to keep awake. And so we see that. You're supposed to keep awake. And it's used several times in the Bible. First, let me tell you, it's interesting the verses are used in the Bible, because when it's not used in the Bible, when you're not doing this word in the Bible, which is translated a couple different English words, it's translated vigilant and it's translated the word watch. And it's used in situations where you got to be watching very carefully. You're on guard and you have enemies coming and you got to be watching to see if they're coming. It says you are not watching. And you better watch or you're in big trouble and it'll come upon you. And this guy did not watch. That's a spiritual problem. So how are we supposed to watch? First of all, we're supposed to be on guard and watching against the devil. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant. The word vigilant is the same Greek word, gregor youhu. Same word he said, watch, is the same verse where it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Be vigilant is the same word in the Greek as watch. You got to watch out for the devil. He might have a trick for you. You got to watch out for the devil because he's going about as a roaring lion. Listen, if you found out somewhere in your house there was a rabid pit bull when you got home, somebody called on the phone and said, hey, you know what? I'm going to admit you something. I went and I robbed your house tonight, and I left my pit bull in your house. And it's rabid. You'd be thinking, okay, I got to get to the door, but where is this thing? That's what you'd be thinking. How do I get out of here? Or you might just panic. You might do one of those things. But whatever you do, you'd be thinking, okay, where is it? Can I get the door in time? Do I get a bone or a gun? What do I do? You'd be watchful for where that dog is. You should be more watchful than that spiritually. You should be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, is trying to devour you. I cannot believe how careless most Christians are. I cannot believe how careless they are. I mean, I look at myself and think how weak I am and how much the flesh has power and how weak I am and how I am susceptible to falling. And I put all these borders around me and caution, and I'm 10 miles away from sin. And then I meet Christians who are hanging on the edge of the cliff, sitting there confidently. And guess what? They always fall. Why? They're not careful. You're playing games with the devil. You got this insane, crazy lion who wants to eat you. And you say, I'll just hang this meat out here and it'll just eat the meat. That's why most Christians live their spiritual life. dangerous. They have no safeguards in their life. They have access to all kinds of terrible things they shouldn't see and hear and watch. They hang around people who are not godly. They have no caution in their life. They are not watchful against the devil's attack. They leave things around them that would destroy them. They leave temptations in their home. You're going to face enough temptation out there. I'll just tell you, if you're trying to be careful, be watchful against the devil's attack. Christians who die are usually careless Christians. They're careless in their convictions. They're careless in how they go to church. They think they can not get away with not going to church. By the way, every great Christian I've ever respected, every single one of them is at every single service of their church. They say, I can't afford to miss church. Oh, man, I'm in trouble. And the ones who are, I don't need to go to church. I can make it if I miss church. If I make it, I don't, but I just worship God wherever. Those ones are always not very strong, and they're dead Christians usually. The cautious ones who say, I can't miss a week, man. Because you understand, if you miss a week of church, you start on Monday, you go till the next Monday, and then you go till the next Saturday. It's not just you miss 7 days. By the time you get to the Saturday before Sunday, you've missed almost 2 weeks of church. You miss that next Sunday, you're going to be almost 3 weeks in a church. You're in danger. You heard so much garbage between, you didn't get plugged into Christians, your battery's not getting recharged, and you casually missed church because a relative wanted to go to a picnic? Boy, you're not very cautious. They're not cautious in their church attendance. They're not cautious in their personal convictions. They're overconfident. So first of all, they're not on guard against the devil. Secondly, they're supposed to be watchful for is watchful for Jesus coming. That's the context here. You can tell by the wording here. He says, verse 3, remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come upon thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I come upon thee. Now, if you know your Bible very well, you know what Jesus is referring to there. He's talking about coming, when he comes back. And he says, I'll come upon you not ready. We'll read references that say this. Oh, and by the way, Jesus is going to use the word watch here. It's the exact same Greek word again. Same Greek word. So as we cut open and do this autopsy, Matthew 24, as we cut open this dead church, we find out why are they dead? We cut it open, and we do some surgery here, and we look inside. It pops a person who's not watching, not on guard, not paying good attention. And that is the reason that they are in trouble. Matthew 24 and verse 42. Watch therefore, same word, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Wherefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. And then he says in Matthew chapter 25, verse 13, he says, watch therefore, for ye know neither the day or the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. So you see this, it's the same thing he says in Revelation 3. This church was not watching for Jesus to come. And can I just say this real simply? Follow the history of revival. Follow the history of people who are on fire for God. You'll find the history of people thinking Jesus might come back any minute. That's the history. A wise man once said, every time I've seen a denomination die, the first thing that happens, they remove the imminence of Christ coming. They don't believe he can come at any time. Jesus says, watch. Because you don't know when I'm coming. He just says that. He says it 6 times, matter of fact. I come like a thief. You're not going to know when I'm going to come. You better watch and looking for and hasting in the coming of the Lord. Where we are looking for Jesus to come. We don't know when. And we're watching. We're being careful. Jesus might come back tonight. And some people who skipped church tonight, they weren't watching. We got to watch for Jesus to come back. The death comes at a church when there is no urgency to be ready because Jesus might come. And as a Christian, that'll help you stay right. This church had a death because it wasn't watching. And it also wasn't watching. You can watch to be careful against the devil. You can watch for Jesus coming. And thirdly, you can be watchful during times of great trial or temptation. If you're in Matthew, verse chapter 26, be watchful during times of great trial or temptation. Matthew 26, verse 38. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. There's the same word. Watch. Watch with me. Why? You're in great trial. And he prayed in verse 40. Then come his disciples and findeth them asleep and saith unto them, unto Peter, What could ye not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. For the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Coming under a lot of temptation? Are you coming under a lot of temptation? What are you doing to watch and pray? He says, pray, watch and pray, watch and pray. The spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. What are you doing to be more careful? What are you doing to be more cautious? What are you doing to prepare? And listen, temptations, heavy temptation comes in seasons. Sometimes it's a little easier and sometimes it's very difficult. And you better, and I'm just telling you, you better be careful and watching very carefully and say, you know what? I think I'm under a lot of oppression right now. I need to watch very carefully. And you would do a bunch of wise things, like you go to church more, you'd call some friends, say, pray for you. You'd spend a lot more time in your Bible. You'd call some people and ask them to pray for you. You know what? I'm just not that kind of person. I'll be okay. Well, the Son of God asked people to pray for him. Maybe you need to. Let me try that again. The Son of God thought he needed people to pray for him in his hour of temptation. You might need that also. And that maybe you're stronger than him. Oh, I just don't like talking to people. Fine. Don't like it and do it. Don't like it and do it. You got to watch and be careful during that time of temptation. Listen, one of the things that I'm put in this book about pastors being discouraged. Well, a pastor passed 35 years of being in the ministry, and he stayed the same church. He never quit. And that pastor was asked, how did you make it through all that? And he said, I survived the quitting times. There's those points in your life where there's points in your life, you'd pay to go to church. You're so excited about church. It's not a bad idea. And you'd be excited to go to church, and you love serving the Lord, and your Bible's speaking to you, and everything's easy. And then there's those other times, the Garden of Gethsemane, Elijah underneath a juniper tree, and many other times of people in the Bible, and you got to watch and pray during those trials. Back to Revelation chapter 3. Time for a different knife here, different scalpel. Old school here. Do some more cutting up and find out what they did wrong, what this church didn't do right, and what we need to make sure we do. Number one, we said there were parts of them ready to die. They weren't taken care of. Number two, they were not watchful. Number three, this corpse did not remember. Verse three, remember therefore how thou hast received and heard and hold fast and repent. Remember therefore. All remembering is so important in the Bible. We talked about it in Sunday school. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard. He tells one of the other churches, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen. Ephesus, Revelation chapter 2, verse 5. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen. Listen to me for a sec. God says a cure for your ills is remembering. Remembering. Now, he told Ephesus, remember from where you fell. But he tells this church, remember how thou hast received and heard. Do you remember when you got saved, how you received the word of God? Do you remember when you were hungry for the Bible, how you heard before? Listen, any pastor who has 5 years of experience, I can do it just like that. Pastors, veteran pastors, we have pastors coming to our pulpit and tell you this. You can watch when a Christian starts dying. Because it's how they hear the message. it is stunningly revealing. You can't see it from your side. You can see the back of heads. You can tell this. But you can't tell. But there is people who are, you know, they're listening. They like the preaching. And they think, man, this is the word of God. And boy, Lord, speak through them. And they want that. And they want their ears are open. They hear the word of God. It's how they hear it. But when it changes, when they start dying, you know what happens? You know one of the first signs you're in real health trouble and you're dying? You have no appetite. You have no appetite. You know when your relative's 70 years old and you're worried about them, or 80 years old, or you've been worried about the health, and all of a sudden they stop eating. You better do something quick if they're going to live. Why? Because they have no appetite anymore. Same thing spiritually. You know you're in danger when you have no more hunger for the Word of God. And you can watch it from somebody, and our church is so good about this. People want to hear the preaching. They're listening. They pay attention, and they want to hear it. But boy, when someone turns, every once in a while, just in the crowd, just all of a sudden, someone out there will all of a sudden go from two. And I know they'll maybe just disappearing, or maybe call me soon. And you know what, preacher? You know what? We're leaving. I'm not being fed anymore, and you've changed. And I know you're talking about me now, and you know what? We're just not going to put up with that. I know that's all coming. Why? Me change? Please. I can fall and do a million things wrong. But when you get an attitude about, how's your Bible reading going, by the way? None of your business. That means nothing. That means what their Bible is doing is they're not reading their Bible. Why? They have no hunger for it anymore because they're dying. And this church said, remember how you heard and how you received. Better get back to that. And you better think, you know, I do remember how hungry I was, how much I ate it all up. And boy, the best thing is the people are growing the most. You know when somebody's growing the most? They're eating it up. They really, actually, literally want me to preach longer. Me to preach longer. Mr. 45, 50 minute and not a great entertaining preacher. I mean, I don't like put outfits on or dance around or anything. Why? Because they're hungry. A baby is hungry all the time. All it does is input bottle and output something else. That's their whole life. That's it. And they want to eat. And that's growth. And so they got to remember, first of all, how their heart was tender, how they received the word of God. Do you still hang on the edge of your seat? You know what's exciting to me? You know why I have a pastor who I was changed and transformed and grew all under his ministry? You know he is still serving the Lord and growing and doing great and a great, exciting man of God. You know why? Because every single conference that I go to with him, every time I see the conference, he's in the front row listening. But the match there is. Hitting the altar. By the way, that's another sign you're growing when you're getting right. Things are changing, you're growing. And he is just still receptive, still learning, still wants to hear it. And that's a good way to watch yourself. That's a good way to watch this Christian and see if they're going to die. And so they're remembering how their heart was tender. If you don't remember, the other thing you need to remember is your salvation, how you received the word of God. If you don't remember salvation, you'll die. Let me take you to 2 Peter, go backward just a couple books here. 2 Peter. If you don't remember your salvation, you will spiritually die. Now, nobody's going to cross their arms the rest of the message. And they remember. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 9. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. It's important. They're dying because they forgot. They're purged from their old sins and they're blind. Verse 13, Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am with you in this tabernacle, my body, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Verse 15, moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. You see, see how strong it is here? Remember, guys, told Ephesus, remember. Remember, because you all of a sudden say, I'm not like I was. What's wrong? Remember your salvation. Remember Jesus saving you. Remember eternal life. Remember how you were growing. Remember how excited you were. And go back and never lose that joy. You stay on fire and you don't fall. This church died because they had a problem with remembering. Next, what are we supposed to do? What do we find as we do this autopsy? We cut this body open, and why did this church die? He tells us in Revelation. Again, he gives us some more clues in here. Revelation chapter 3. They're supposed to hold fast, and this church should not hold fast. Verse 3, remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. Hold fast and repent. Hold on to these things you have. Do not let them go. You know how important holding fast, grabbing hold of something is? Let me show you a bunch of verses here. 1 Thessalonians, I'm going to read them in right in a row. They're right after each other. There's a bunch of them. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'm going to read them fast. If you want to turn to all of them, that's fine. You can write the references down if not. 1 Thessalonians 5:21. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Hold fast that which is good. 2 Thessalonians 2:15. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or by epistle. Hold on to those traditions you've been taught. 2 Timothy in chapter 1. And verse 13. Hold fast the form of sound works which thou hast heard of me in faith and in love which is in Jesus Christ. Hebrews 4:14. Again, we're just going in order here, front to back. Hebrews 4:14. Seeing then we have a great high priest that is passed into heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. The Bible says God gives you some things and you will die if you don't hold fast those things you get. All right? This is the doctrine, this is the truth God showed me. And by the way, you get the right things from God. God leads you into Scripture. God leads you into truth. The Holy Spirit does it. And you grab a hold of that, and God's doctrine is never going to change. So once you find the truth, you hold fast. Understand. Boys, come on up here. Put your Bibles down. All four of you. Boys, I said. All right. This is the truth. These are little devils. That's why I got all four of you. Okay? I'm holding fast. Go ahead. Try to get it. Well, that's not trying. Go ahead and try. Now I got a death grip on this thing. They aren't going to get it. They can try for an hour. I got a death grip. But this is what it's like. See, if I held it casually, they're the quitters. Devil's not the quitter like that. Yeah. And if I'm not careful, if I'm not doing my best, if I'm not trying my hardest, they're going to get it. But I'm going to grip it and not let it go. But the world's going to blow against it, and the world's going to fight against our good doctrine. You don't think as a pastor, I feel the wind blowing against me to change? Sir? They quit again, didn't they?
Yeah, that's right. They're supposed to get you when you're talking.
That's all right. They ain't going to get it. They ain't going to get it. They can try it. But I've decided they gave up. Why? Because they know I'm not going to change. They know I'm not going to let go of this thing. They know I've got a death grip. They know this is why I don't have a smartphone. And and they know. Why? Because I'm not going to let go of it. And they quit because they're wimps. You can be seated. Go ahead. You want to try? You want to try? But they're not going to get it. Why? Because I'm holding fast. Because I decided that I'm not going to let go. Broken now, but. So God gives you truth, and all of a sudden the world blows and tries to get you to change. Somebody invites you to some church that's changed things, and they got a better program than Open Door. They got all these fancy things in this club and this activity and this activity. And you'll change because of a bunch of activities at church. Because you have a bunch of friends who are doing this and they're having fun doing it. You'll change. It says you grab those things that God gives you and you stick with them. You know what? And by the way, if we lose people and people aren't going to come back to our church, they're not going to come back to our church. We're not changing. There's 20 of us. We're going to hold fast to the form of sound doctrine and the things that God give us. You've got to, in your life, decide there are things I believe, and I don't care if all my relatives criticize me. I don't care if the whole world starts acting like that, dressing like that, talking like that. Doesn't matter to me. I ain't changing. Hold fast the things that I've given you. Hold fast. I'm not talking about sinful things. Get rid of sinful things. Wrong doctrine. Get rid of it. But once you got the things from God, you hold fast. And though every other church leaves it, and though Christianity leaves it, you hold fast, not because of tradition, because it's Bible. And because God gave it to you. You hold fast. You let things slip. Pretty soon you're dead spiritually. Oh, by the way, a whole bunch of denominations right now are not holding fast to what was handed to them. And boy, they must be thriving. No, they're dying. Go to these liberal churches in downtown Seattle. Try to find life. Go to the liberal churches who are changing. They're dying. Go to these churches. I'm not talking about new churches. I'm talking about old churches who used to have it. They're dead. There are 35 people in a cloud of dust and going downhill fast. And pretty soon the rest of those 35 will die off or scatter. Why? Because when you die, you're good for nothing but a transplant. And a few of those have gotten transplanted to us because of a good body part. You're a good body part, Dennis. And other people, why? Because they die when they don't hold fast. They had good doctrine. These old line denominational churches were solid as a rock 75 years ago, 60 years ago, 50 in most cases, sometimes 25. Those denominations and those churches that are changing with the times, and they think a bunch of the homosexuals and a bunch of these people are going to come to their church because they opened up and changed everything, and those people don't go to church anyway. They just say, we like you, but they don't go to your church. And they change their doctrine for the times and to fit in with the times. They don't hold fast. They die. They die. Only God can give life. It's not your method that's going to give life. It's the power of Jesus Christ. And he's not going to bless that. Next, last thing this church needed to do. And last thing about life. Revelation 3. Meddle not with those given to change, the Bible says. That's not the point. That's back to the last point. Meddle not with those given to change. Remove not the ancient landmarks which thy fathers have set. Hold fast. Repent is the last thing. Chapter 3, verse 3. Remember therefore from whence thou hast received, or how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast, and repent. Repent. Verse 4, I have a few names even in Sardis which have not defiled their garments. They didn't change. And they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Isn't that great? There's some people sticking with it. Repent. Constantly live, 1 John 1:9. I want to say this. I'm going to mess up. Have done it. Will do it. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. If I continue to not repent, I will die. If I repent, then I can live. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The problem is that some churches and some individuals, they do something wrong, and then they regard, as the Bible word for, they regard their iniquity in their heart, they accept it. You'd be amazed what you could have go into your body and not kill you. If you get it out, leave it in there. You can have a sliver kill you if you leave it in there long enough. And you let sin stay in you, and you do not repent, you start dying. You got something in you got to get rid of. You got something in you got to repent of. And this church needed to repent. And what happened? God can give them life. Look at all these promises, this church. Look at all these promises. He says, thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk before me in white, those who don't defile themselves. He that overcometh, the saints shall be clothed in white raiment. I will not blot his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father. Last thing, what did Jesus, the doctor, describe himself as, this church? He always describes himself as a solution. What's the solution? Verse 1, unto the angel of the church of Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. The seven stars are the angels. The word angel, angelos, in the Greek, it's transliterated into English to angel. The word means messenger. I hold a messenger in my hand. You need the message of God. And he says, the one who has the seven spirits of God. There's only one Holy Spirit, but to capitalize it, it's the Holy Spirit. He's referring to the fullness. Number seven is complete. The fullness of the Spirit. You know this church needed? The power of the Holy Spirit. You can take a dead church and get one Spirit-filled Christian in there and get the power of the Holy Spirit in that church. And guess what? Life comes. People are saved. People come alive. People come under conviction. And it comes alive. Because this church needed the power of the Holy Spirit again. It got started by someone who's full of the Holy Spirit and grew by someone full of the Holy Spirit and someone praying for the power of the Holy Spirit. And when the power of the Holy Spirit comes, life comes. Everywhere they went in the Bible with the power of the Spirit, life! And you know what? If your spiritual life's dead or this church dies, all it needs is a good injection of the Holy Spirit inside of it. And whoo, the Holy Spirit brings life. And that's all we need. There's hope if you're dying spiritually. There's hope. And you say, okay, yeah, that's good for other people. How about you? You still growing? You've been saved 20 years, 15 years, 10 years? Are you growing? Are you alive? Are you alive? Or are you dying? Be surprised how quickly you're dead spiritually. No life in you. And check for breath. Holy Spirit, no breath. No Holy Spirit moving. It's time for life. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the chance to be alive spiritually. Lord, thank you that even when we start dying, we can get back to life. You can go ahead and electrocute us back to life, Lord, with the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, you can do CPR on the deadest Christian, Lord, if we will repent. Lord, I pray we'd hold fast. I pray we'd be full of the Holy Spirit. I pray we'd repent. I pray that we would go and not do the mistakes this church did, Lord. There are so many obvious mistakes, Lord, and so many things they did. I pray we do these things right. Help us to be watchful. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to remember. Lord, help us to be a live church. I fear, Lord, you've got a few parts that are dying. I don't know. It's a pretty good church, but Lord, the devil's always trying to kill us. And boy, we've got to get everything strengthened as a church. And that means individual strength. And help us to get our hunger back. Help us to repent. In Jesus' name. Heads bowed, our eyes are closed. Are you as alive as you are?